this week, and it's just lovely to have you here at the service worshipping with us at Wilmslow Methodist Church. The church does ask that we generally try and keep on masks if we have. Not essential, but it is the church's wish just that we do that. Respect for other people, the number of people, you know, would feel better if we are. So that's fine. Also, in terms of singing, it is okay to sing quietly behind your masks. But again, respect if that's gentle and not overzealous for those of us who are overzealous singers. Welcome this morning, David James. I don't think there's any other notices. At the end, we will just make our way out and assemble, talk with our friends, just be able to chat outside. But for now, David from our Cheadlehume Church, we look forward to you leading us into service this morning. A warm welcome.
Good morning. Those of us that wear hearing aids and have to wear masks will appreciate the problem I've just had and you have all the time. Decouples your hearing aid. And if you've got glasses on at the same time, it's even worse. It is really good to be back here with you, sharing worship. I haven't checked to see how long ago it was, but it's obviously pre-lockdown, so it's probably a couple of years ago that I was last here. But it's really good to be back with you. A call to worship. The Lord is here, and we will praise him. The Lord is here, and we will worship him. The Lord is here, and we will trust him. The Lord is here, and we will honour him. The Lord is here, and he has called us to give him all the glory. Amen. The theme for the service this morning is time. But as we shall hear in the reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we are commanded to worship the Lord. So let's begin that worship by singing the faith, number 161, Speak, O Lord. There will be a video and it's verses 1 and 3. And now a time of prayer. We begin with a prayer of praise. Let us pray. Lord of grace and beauty, we praise you that we glimpse your love in mountains and lakes, in trees and hillsides, in the wonder of nature and the skill of human hands. Keep our eyes and hearts always open to this love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And a prayer of adoration. O God, your word became flesh and lived among us. Thank you that you moved into our neighbourhood, that you are present with us right now, dwelling in our hearts and our homes. Holy God, you are worthy to be praised. Holy Spirit, we worship you. Living bread, we adore you. Amen. I think we always come to worship hoping to perhaps learn something that we didn't know before, usually something from the Bible. But this morning, as well as maybe something that you will learn from the Bible, a little bit of church history. For the first 1,000 years of Christian history, and still today among the Greek and Russian Orthodox churches, confession and penitence never formed part of Sunday worship, though it happened at other times and places. Sunday was for praise. Penitence only creeps into Christian Sunday worship during the Middle Ages. So, for a change, we are not having formal prayers of confession this morning. You are very welcome to make your confession in your own way, at your own time, in a place of your choosing. But there will now be a few moments of silence for reflection before we praise God with singing again. And we sing again from video, singing the faith number 544, As the Deer Pants for the Water.
As the deer pants for the water.
It must seem strange to some of you to see yourself up there on the big screen singing. We now have our reading.
So this morning's reading is from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, and it's a short reading, verses 15 to 20. Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How has the pandemic and lockdown changed how you use your time? I gave the short reading to Dave this morning. Here's a slightly longer one that you will all know. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Whatever is, has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. And just reading that, there's still relevance in there, isn't there? You know, earlier, a few days ago, the Goddard family celebrated the life of Roger's mum. We see the beautiful flowers down here, and we hear a time to mourn and a time to dance. We're gradually coming out of the lockdown and the pandemic. It covers that as well, because there will be a time to embrace, and we have had to have a time to refrain. And on a personal one, 2 weeks ago, Pat and I moved house. We downsized. We're now in a bungalow. So for several weeks before we moved, and it's an ongoing process, we're having a time to keep and a time to throw away. And there's a lot more throwing away to be done yet, I have to say. Time can be used for many things, good and bad. Paul recommends worship in Ephesians verse 19. And that is meant to be a good time. And we ask each other, maybe when we've been out for the day or been on holiday, have you had a good time? Or sometimes we say, oh, I had such a bad time of it. So if you look at your day, 24 hours, it might be fair to say that certainly for those younger, that you'd spend a third of it sleeping, a third of it at work, and that might be paid work, voluntary work, whatever, and a third other, which will include cooking, it will include reading, watching the TV, etc. And do you think that you use your time effectively? Or do you look back and wonder why things haven't got done? I know when, for quite a long time when I was working, we used to have to fill in timesheets to show what we had been doing during the day. Sometimes that was fairly easy, especially if you'd been working on one thing all day. Sometimes you sort of really struggled to work out what and where you'd actually spent your time. And Paul also tells the Ephesians in verse 16 to make good use of every opportunity you have. And by that, he means talking to people about Jesus and your faith. So, do you spend enough time in the service of God talking to people about God? I know I don't. I could spend a lot more, and I can think, to be honest, I can think of more opportunities that I've perhaps turned away from than opportunities that I have accepted. And that's not good. But I've got a sneaking suspicion that I'm not alone in that. Something that we can all reflect on and think about doing more. So learning to live a more Christ-centered life and therefore using our time more wisely needs us to do three positive things apart from stopping wasting our time and maybe less committee meetings. And the three things I want to commend to you this morning are study, prayer, and Christian action. So to begin with study. Studying alone and together when we're safe and we feel able to return to doing so. And there's all sorts of stuff available to us. There's daily Bible readings and other study material at various levels of complexity. So whether you're a beginner or whether you're well on in your studies. Home groups. Now, I don't know whether Winslow as a church has any home groups. We do at Cheadle Hume, and I'm a member of one, and I find it extremely useful to go there, look at a passage of scripture and talk about it and see and hear other people's views. There are courses, and I know for a fact that in years past that Winslow and other churches around here have done Disciple in its many, I was going to say variations, but in its Disciple 1, Disciple 2, etc. There's also one that we did at Cheadle Hume some years ago called The Purpose-Driven Life. There's Christian books. Such a wide choice, but it's actually more difficult now that the number of Christian bookshops has declined, because I find it difficult just to browse online and find something of interest that way. So maybe something that you can do as a church is tell each other about books that you've read that you think others might find useful. So in these ways, we can deepen our knowledge, get answers to questions that trouble us, and that you feel might be asked by other people. Because I still find that a big part of the problem about talking to people outside church about Jesus and my faith that I have is when they start asking difficult questions about suffering, natural disasters, things like that. I've still not got the answers to that sorted out properly. But working together in groups is especially useful in coming up with answers to problems like these. So that was study. Prayer. I think we continue to learn how important prayer is, whether we've been coming to church for 2 years, 22 years, 52 years. We still learn how important prayer is. So, an individual question for each of you. Do you pray enough? And I'll hold up my hand up straight away and say, I know that I don't. It's too easy for many other things to get in the way. And the various monastic orders build their lives around the numerous daily services. And prayer plays a major part in those services. People of the Muslim faith pray 5 times a day, not for very long at each time, but they pray 5 times a day. Do you pray 5 times a day? Why do we need to pray and increase the amount of prayer? Why do we need to pray every day and not just in church on Sundays? Because when we pray, we open ourselves up to God. We are concentrating on our relationship with God. We might be praising Him, asking Him for something for ourselves or for others. Or we might be listening to Him, telling us what He wants from us. Somewhat harder, I think, than actually asking. Hopefully, for those few minutes, the outside world is pushed to one side and we become focused on God. And just like study, prayer is something that can be done individually or in groups, large or small. And prayer is powerful. People talk about the power of prayer. Several of you this morning have very kindly asked me about Pat and how she is. She was here a few weeks ago. I'm sure some of you were here. 5 years ago, we were in Scarborough just after Easter at ECG, in which I help run. And for those of you that have been to Christian festivals such as Spring Harvest or maybe Easter People in the past, it all runs on a similar sort of pattern of Bible studies, activities, and then a big celebration in the evening. Well, one morning I'd left the hotel to go and get the money out of the safe and go to the bank, as somebody has to do. And I was arranging to meet up with Pat afterwards to go and look at something. And I got a call from her, could I come back to the hotel? And she was there, sat in the lounge, and she was obviously not well. And it turned out that she'd had a stroke. So the ambulance was called. We got her to Scarborough District Hospital, where they treated her within the golden hour and then took her to York, where the stroke unit is. And I followed the ambulance to York, and when I made sure she was all right, I came back just in time to Scarborough for the evening celebration. And at that celebration, about 700 people in the room, they all prayed for Pat by name. Well, it was an incredible feeling. I mean, you've seen Pat now and you've seen that she's made virtually a full recovery. And I'm sure that that helped, as well as the brilliant NHS helping. What I do know is that it certainly helped me, because I don't know where my head was, but hearing all those people pray for Pat just so reassured me and so made me think, yeah, okay, whatever happens, I'm going to be able to cope with it. The power of prayer. I mean, have you ever had your prayers answered? Maybe not in the way that you wanted or expected, but remember, God is looking for us to serve him, not the other way around. And prayer can be uplifting, and I've just given you an example of that. And then the third thing is action. Did you find that, especially before lockdown, that your life was getting more and more hectic? Things happen so much quicker these days, don't they? I mean, not until a few years ago, the only way of communicating with somebody in a formal written way was by post. You wrote, and it would take several days to get a reply. Then, mainly in business, we got the fax machine. So we got replies within hours. Now we have emails, text messages, social media, so we get answers in seconds. Does that quick turnaround give us more time? No. We just communicate a lot more. And maybe some of that's worthwhile. I'm sure not all of it is. People seem to have less time. Again, this is changing, but work takes more time. We used to travel further to work. I mean, the distances that people used to commute into London every day simply because of the house prices. You know, there are for years have been people commuting to London every day from the Isle of Wight. and then from places on fast train lines like Peterborough and Grantham and places like that. We have divided families. We have more TV channels to watch. Elderly relatives to visit because they don't live with us anymore. And we've all been living longer. And as a result of this and of the pandemic, all the organisations that rely on volunteers of a working age are short of people. Church organisations. I'm sure that, like most other churches, you struggle to fill the jobs that need doing. Young people's organisations, including the uniformed organisations. There are long waiting lists for Cubs, Brownies, Rainbows, Beavers. There just aren't the people to run the groups. Community organisations, thinking in particular of Wellspring in Stockport, but larger organisations like Christian Aid and Oxfam Shops and all the other charity shops. So is there a feeling that says we are living longer, therefore using the time we have wisely is not as important? The time will be there. Maybe subconsciously we do think that, but we also know that our time on earth could come to an end at any time. So as a visitor to your church, I obviously don't know how each of you uses your time. All I would ask is that you take a short period of time in the near future to reflect upon your priorities in life and how you use your time in fulfilling those. For instance, should your Christian Action be higher up your list and use more of your time, or giving more time to prayer or study? And this is what Paul was telling the Ephesians. None of us know when our time will be up, so let's make the most of the time that we have. However long that might be, by serving God in study, prayer, and Christian Action. Amen. We now come to our prayers of intercession. And before I read these, a few moments of silence just to reflect on situations that do need our prayer. The terrible situation that's unfolding in Afghanistan. The outcomes of the shooting in Plymouth. People that we know who need our prayers. And hopefully this prayer will help us just focus on some of those. So let us pray. Think of someone who is frightened, someone whose whole world has come crashing down. Someone who is concerned for their own health or the health of someone they love. Someone facing a time of illness and afraid to share their fears that are bottled inside. Think of someone who is hurting inside. Someone whose pain simply won't go away. Someone who feels rejected, unwanted, or unloved. Someone who longs to know compassion, hope, and peace, but has no one to offer it to them. Think of someone who is challenged, someone who is increasingly aware that all is not well in their lives. Someone whose wrong attitudes, mistaken values, or hurtful words are the cause of despair and disillusionment for someone they love. Think of someone who is broken, someone who set out with high hopes and great ambitions, someone who once had important plans for their future, but whose tomorrows are covered with clouds of despair. Think of someone who is happy, someone who is very much aware of all they have received from God's gracious hand, someone who overflows with thankfulness and joy, someone whose life is daily set alight with the love and the presence of Christ. Think of someone whose life is being touched by God, someone whose whole existence is being turned upside down, someone experiencing for the first time in their life the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Think of someone who is discovering what it can mean to offer and receive forgiveness. Someone whose burden of guilt is being lifted and whose bitterness and anger are gently being washed away. Think of someone who's weighed down by their sense of responsibility, someone whose employment has lost the joy and fulfillment it once held, someone overwhelmed by the demands of family and friends, someone who is burdened by the pain and the suffering they see all around them, someone who feels helpless to respond to God's suffering world. Think of yourself and all that you carry within you. Think of yourself and all you must face tomorrow. Think of yourself and the promises of God to hold you, bless you, and love you from now until the end of all things. Think of yourself. And in the silence, bring your personal concerns to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. And now, quietly, let us say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. For ever and ever. Amen. I don't know in what ways you have found worship to be different during lockdown, whether watching it on your computer or being here in church. One thing that I have missed is singing, but I found an upside to not singing, in that I have found myself reading and understanding the words better, possibly because half of my brain is not trying to keep to the music. So for our final hymn this morning, I've decided that I will read it out loud. Now, I'm hoping that... Do we have the words for this, Bill? Yeah. So I'm going to read it out loud because this will help Bill to change the verses at the right time. So you could either just sit and listen, read the words to yourself or out loud, or even sing them very quietly. Whatever you choose to do, I hope that it brings you a deeper understanding of what God is calling you to as we commit our lives to him. As I read, Singing the Faith 566, Take My Life and let it be. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always, only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. And now a closing prayer and the blessing. You have shown us your goodness and called us to be your people once again. As we have praised you here, help us to praise you in every moment of the week ahead. As we have served you here, help us to serve you in everyone we meet. And as we have heard your urgent call here, send us out to be good news for the world. We ask this through him, whose coming is certain, whose day draws near, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen.